Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 451. Hopefully you are having a fantastic week. This is the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. We have a great amount of cool content to get to you this week. We are recording directly live to Hard Drive midway through the week here on August 25th, 2010, 2010, if you will. We have a ton of awesome stuff, but I did want to make mention of the fact that we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All of the shows are listed over at techpodcasts.com. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network, and all of them shows can be listed over at www.blueberry.com. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. This is the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. I'm going to hopefully get through a recording without any of the animals kicking up, the baby screaming, or anything else. It's always funny here. Apparently it's always sunny here in Philadelphia, but it's always funny here in the caffeination lair. Things just don't always go the way that they should or the way that I plan. You know, best laid plans of mice and podcasters. So, all right, we have a goodly amount of content. There's some things that have to be done up first and personal. We would like to make mention of the fact that the Caffeination is proudly sponsored by GoToMeeting. Now, the old way to meet for business is over the phone or in person. You have to actually go to some place, you have to schedule times, and it doesn't always work the best for you. The new way, the better way, the way to actually meet the demands of a globalized society is to meet your clients and colleagues online with GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is like meeting in person, but it consumes a lot less of your time and money. You can start meetings with just a click, and you don't have to be some computer whiz to do it. Everyone can see your desktop on their computer screen, so they can follow along as you move from page to page, meeting to meeting, whatever you have to do. You can use GoToMeeting to host sales presentations, product demos, or training sessions. You can even collaborate with documents by sharing them directly on your screen. And with GoToMeeting, you can host as many meetings as you want during the month for one low flat rate. All right, my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings absolutely free. For this special offer, please visit www.goToMeeting.com/techpodcasts. All right, we have a cool amount of little tidbits here today, and I'm kind of excited to talk about the one. It's not very often that I actually get to talk about a invention that has the potential to actually change the world. Now, I'm not just mincing words here. There are actually cool things out there that are doing good stuff, and they actually have the potential to change the world in a very real and very meaningful, measurable way. So I can't wait to talk about them. This is probably going to be either the last show or the second to last show before the contest over at Summer of Podcasts contest at podcastmadness.com all closes up shop. So remember, head on over there. Your code for this show is Caffeination, CaffeinationCaffeination.com. It's easy enough to remember. It's the show with all the coffee and all the tech. So you head on over there. You can listen to any one of the other, actually any number of the other shows that are all in on this. And the drawing is going to be held on September 6th. So can't wait to that, and thank you ever so much to Jeffrey Powers for actually putting that together. He has done a fantastical little thing there. So, all right, we're going to start in on the Geekcraft section. Up first is a book review. I actually got a wonderful volume from the Pragmatic Bookshelf. It's called Hello Android by Ed Burnett. Now, this is a great book if you have never programmed for Android before. And, you know, I always talk about whether or not I would rent or own a book. You know, libraries are fantastic things. You know, resources, depending on what kind of computer book it is, they're either good to have around, or they're probably going to get dated pretty quickly. And on the dated ones, you know, it's probably best to, you know, just shuffling them all along. But this is the kind of book that if you're a beginner, you'd need. This is the one of those books that where once it's set down in front of you, if you can follow through from page one to the end, it's roughly 300 pages. It's an incredibly easy conversational tone. I wrote a whole review on it, so you can head on over to thecaffeination.com and check it out. But I got to tell you, I would definitely own this one. And it's mainly because of how Ed actually takes you through the process of creating your apps. He speaks from experience about getting things accepted into the market. And the good thing about Android is that even if you don't have them accepted into the market, you can still share them with other people as long as they have that little checkbox that says, have third-party apps or whatever it's actually labeled. But his experience really comes in handy in the book, and it's a fantastic read. Now, if everything works out, I don't like putting out content that's less than awesome, so if everything works out, you are going to see a Caffeination application. And it's going to be living on the... I don't even know if they're fully applications when they're on a mobile platform. Everybody just calls them apps. And they don't call apps on desktops. So is it that they're only apps when they're on mobile devices or beyond that? But still, you're going to be able to develop actually and program for mobile devices on the Android platform. If this is for you, then there you go. It covers all versions from Cupcake to Froyo and beyond. So... And for those of you who are like myself and a little bit dense in the head, and you didn't know what Froyo is, Froyo apparently is frozen yogurt. So everything's all done based on on desserts over there in the Android world, so it's kind of fun to play around with. Now, here's the machine I was trying to tell you about. This is the one that is literally going to change the world if this... gets out, I guess. You've all heard stories of electric cars back in the 60s that the oil companies bought up and things like that. This is one of those kind of crazy inventions that could literally change everything. There's a gentleman who's from Japan who actually managed to create a device. His name is Akinori Ito. Sorry, I was looking for his name in there. He actually managed to create a device that is able to actually transform plastic back into oil. Now, I'm not sure if everybody knows this, but you need oil to create plastic. Oil is essential. It's basically emulsified oil in varying kind of forms. This machine, basically, you can put whole plastic in there. You can put chunked and chopped plastic in there. As long as it's recycled marked anywhere from 2 to 4, it can go in this machine. And it's basically a still. It looks exactly like a tiny little still. There's little to no residue. There's no carbon emissions, he's saying. Everything gets trapped, and as the gases from the heat chamber where it's actually smoking the plastic, as it actually boils up and bubbles up and does whatever it's going to do inside that one tiny little chamber, all the gases escape through a little pressure release valve up at the top, a little gas, and then it goes down into a solution. I assume it's just water, and it basically cools it down, and when you're done, he said that he can get 1 liter of oil out of 1 kilogram of plastic packaging and stuff. So that is unbelievable and fantastic. You have to watch the video that's available over at the news site that I'm actually listing, because it's entirely in Japanese, and normally I wouldn't send you over there. I'd be like, he's just going to explain it, but it's actually from the man himself. You can see his passion in his eyes when he's talking, and if this thing actually comes to fruition, you see him taking it to different developing countries, and it could literally clean up hundreds of thousands of tons of junk that's been left out there and actually use them to produce a resource that people are already hungry for. So it might it has the opportunity, if it works and if everything that it says that it can do is correct, it has the opportunity to literally step back the oil crisis decades, if not, longer. So, people are all worried about when the world supply of oil is going to run out. Well, if you're using the oil to create plastics and you have a way to turn the plastics back into oil, you can either create new plastics out of them, or you can use it to run different kinds of vehicles. He actually shows it being used to create diesel gasoline, and kerosene. I'm literally speechless, or I was rather literally speechless. A good podcast wouldn't actually be speechless while I was talking about it, but I was literally speechless, my mouth was hanging open as I was watching the video. I was like, This is game-changing kind of stuff. So my hat is off to Akinori Ito, because this is going to be fantastic if it actually takes off, and I really kind of hope that it is. All right, next little thing that's kind of crazy, little paradigm-changing device, is you can now call people from Gmail. Yes, you heard me correctly. It is now possible to actually use the voice and video chat widget within Gmail to... sync up to your Google Voice account, and they're rolling it out over the next couple days so that it's actually going to be, you could be sitting at a computer as long as you have a headset or a microphone and some speakers. You too can call anybody within the continental United States. I'm not sure if Canada is actually included in their free calling, but I do know they have incredibly low international rates. This is going to kill Skype. You heard it here. I mean, the ubiquity of Gmail, the fact that everybody has one, if they open this up to not only people who have Google Voice and Gmail accounts out in the public space, but if they also open this up to the subset of people who actually use Google Apps, this could change telephony for the better from here on out. Imagine your bandwidth bills going up significantly, but you know the idea that you actually have to have a separate phone line could rapidly disappear. This is crazy. So apparently, you can make calls to the UK, France, Germany, China, and Japan for as little as 2 cents a minute. So that's next to nothing. In fact, I think they even give you like a dollar or something when you start your Google Voice account. But if you don't have a Google Voice account, head on over there or ask me. You can even email me at caffeination@gmail.com. I have one or two or three invites left to Google Voice. I think it might be open to anybody, but just in case it isn't, then you know, you have that on your own. You can just do that. I also have a link up to the Lifehacker article because there's some fun discussion that's going on with that. But it's just fantastic. I have no clue what this is actually going to be end up being used to do, but this is going to be unbelievable. All right, next little thing that we got up for you here. How about some bird-safe windows? No, I'm not talking about, you know, it's really fun to watch crows fly into your back door. I'm talking about the high-rise buildings that have such mirror-sheen, clean windows that as birds are flying around in their standard migratory path, that they actually have a tendency to crash into these sky-rises, and, you know, it causes fatal injuries in birds, and there's a significant problem with doing this. You send the guys up there to clean, now somebody has to go out to scrape a crow off. I mean, it's just not good, and no matter how you slice it. But there's a company that's actually found a way to create marks on the glass that are not visible within the spectrum of light that humans can visit. So they exist within the UV spectrum of light, and it actually looks like crisscrossed lines all over it so that birds can tell the difference between that and open sky. So that we can't see it, the windows looks clean, but when a bird looks at it, it looks like a giant mess. I actually kind of think that the window looks pretty cool even with the lines all over it. It looks like some kind of a tessellation project or something like that, but still. Apparently, the company's been around since 2006, but they've been refining the pattern up to this point. And skyrises that have installed these things have found reductions in bird strikes of over 75%. So somehow, it also helps to insulate the building when it's installed, probably because the UV coating on the outside acts as a little bit of a shield for the stuff that's there. So, all right. Next little thing is the complete opposite of game changing. These are two words that I never thought I would type together. Flamethrower trombone. Yeah, you heard here correctly. There's a gentleman out there who has actually attached a tank of propane, a grill igniter system, and a temperature valve onto his trombone so that when he plays it, he can actually light it on fire. I have no clue why you would want to do this, but after I saw it, I'm like, well, why not? The only thing I was a little bit disappointed is, as you watch the video that's up there over at cubiclebot.com, they actually show you him playing it, and the puffs of air that actually escape the trombone at the very end are not strong enough to actually change the fire itself. Doesn't really puff out or anything like that. It'd be really cool if, as he plays and as the notes play, like fireballs were sent out or something. But you know, it's just not quite there yet. But still, flamethrower trombone. Tell your friends. The words don't even fit together in my mouth when I'm trying to say them. That's how crazy and off the wall it is. All right. Just on to the next thing. First, there was the Tauntaun sleeping bag from over at ThinkGeek.com. The scene out of Star Wars where basically in Empire Strikes Back, Luke cuts open a Tauntaun and sleeps inside of it. You know, Green Beret Marine style, you know, Green Beret / Marine style, and it's all kinds of nasty in the movie. Well, now you can have a sleeping bag that looks like it. I know we've talked about this, and it's currently back ordered, and it's $99. That's a whole lot of geek right there. And then you move on to another website that I absolutely love, randomgoodstuff.com, where they actually talked about a bear sleeping bag. Now, this is a sleeping bag that looks incredibly like a bear pelt, and that if you are actually sleeping in it, then you get in through the bear's mouth. Now, this isn't like a cutesy-wootsy little funny-looking bear. This looks like somebody literally like just sewed up all the bits inside of a bear, cleaned them out, threw them in the wash, and then you're sleeping inside them. This looks pretty grisly. Yes, the pun was intended. But I'm looking at it, I'm going, wow, that's kind of insane, a little bit weird, but you know, I don't think it could get much weirder. Well, now they have, it gets even weirder than that. This one's, they now, again from over at randomgoodstuff.com, they have a shark sleeping bag, which is more plushy than sleeping bag, because it's actually stays in its format the entire time, although it does either have a baby shark or a little Ramona Ray on the bottom, I'm not entirely sure. But you apparently sit inside the shark's mouth, and there's more plush on top than actual sleeping bags. So I'd say that the first two are much more like sleeping bags. And this one's more just like a performance art installation with a plushie. But still, hats off to the fine folks over there for finding that one. That's kind of insane. Now, if you want to take that little sleep vibe that we got going on, how about compact sleeping? You know, it's always great when you go on camping trips to have an air mattress. I personally am not a real big fan of it, despite the fact that my wife loves them. So since I like going camping and she likes being comfortable, we bring air mattresses. This is something that I could really get behind because this is called an AeroBed pack mat. Basically, within the pump itself, when you pull out the pump, it opens up to actually have the bed itself. It's really cool, and this one is $99 as well. I would much rather have something that's so incredibly compact that it could basically fit inside my pack and looks exactly like a water bottle, so that then have something like a Tauntaun sleeping bag. Despite the fact that I'm a huge geek and all that other fun stuff, it would just seem to me to be a better idea to have one of these. The item only weighs 5 pounds, but it can support up to 350. This is one size fits all, so it's roughly the size of a twin mattress. This could seriously be a replacement for some of the stuff that we have going on. So I'm gonna definitely keep this one in the back of my mind for that. A little expensive, but hey, you know what? I think it's actually worth it. That's a pretty awesome little invention that they got going there. All right. Now, from that kind of sleep compact to the next kind of compact, how about compact weapons? Well, not really compact, but steampunk, and they just look all kinds of awesome. But over at ThinkGeek, apparently they have Colonel J. Fizzywig's blasters. So if you're not creative enough to actually mold steampunk design and steampunk aesthetics into something that looks like a firearm, they have three different versions that you can actually buy: the Big Daddy, the Liberator, and the Combobulator. So I know somebody that I'm already sending one of the images too, just for a hoot, but if you have them, they're anywhere from $39.99 to $59.99. They are perfect for a costume if you're building some kind of crazy awesome steampunk costume for Halloween, but I just wanted to share it with the group because I thought it was that crazy. Now, the next little thing that we moved over to is joystick. Somebody's actually selling a gun that they made. It's a plasma rifle from Fallout 3. This thing is heads and tails above almost every other confab that I've ever seen. It's really detailed. It took the guy over 5 months to actually create it, and it's just unbelievable. The level of detail, it actually looks like the weapon from the game. It has the same ambiance to it. It has the same like antiquing that goes on. There's even like rust spots on it that looks like they've been polished out. So it's really fantastic, and I highly suggest you head on over to Joystick to actually check it out. All right, now this seems to be the story that won't die, but not in a bad way. This one just, I see a lot of people realize the need that it would be awesome to have some kind of DC power supply basically within your house. Now, I'm not saying Edison was right here, but I am saying that Tesla might not have been all the way right. People seem to feel the need to have a USB port within a wall plate so that it would share wall space with a standard electrical port. Now, this version from over at Yanko Design, a lot of them are coming from Yanko, is actually a UK version of the wall slot, but Still, it has the same problem. The problem is that in order to have a DC power supply in the wall, unless you have some kind of generator or something like that on your actual physical premises, because DC doesn't travel very well over distances, hence the reason why Tesla was actually right and Edison not so much, you actually have to have some kind of inverter in order to change AC into DC. When you invert the power and when you actually do what you got to do in order to get the right voltage out, which in the case of a USB drive is actually 5 volts, you actually create heat. In order to have this inverter in line, it would actually end up using electricity when nothing was plugged in. So unless there's a way for either the physical act of inserting a USB key in there to turn the inverter on, I don't really see this thing working, especially because it's another heat vector inside your wall. I'm no electrician, but I do know enough about things that you probably don't want little heaters inside your wall. You much rather have them out in the open. So that's why the USB, that's why all the bricks that are actually sitting out there. And that's what all those bricks actually do. And everything that's in your computer, every piece of electronics runs on DC current because it's much more stable and much more fixed. So there's a lot less loss when you're actually using it. AC current's a lot more unpredictable. It has phase to it. So that's why it's called alternating current as opposed to direct. Just a little FYI on that one as well. But the power supply on your computer is actually a type of inverter that actually changes the AC from your wall to the DC. So when you actually have a house that has non-standard voltage, or when you have a house where it's not entirely wired correctly, you can actually have computer problems just based on the other things that are on in your house at that time. It got really bad in our apartment. I actually have a line conditioner ahead of my computer right now because it got so bad in our apartment. If the microwave was on, the computer would go off. If the TV was on, the computer would go off. Any large draw would actually shut the computer off almost immediately. And it was because the voltage would dip because it wasn't able to actually handle that. And yes, it was an apartment and slightly different situation that was going on. But, it's a lot easier after you have some kind of a power leveling device in place. I personally use a UPS so that it keeps the voltage nice and steady coming out. But that's the main problem with AC. And now we're well off our topics here. All right, I don't know how many of you Nintendo kids out there remember Excitebike. I had so much fun building pixelated tracks to jump a pixelated motorcycle off of that I can't even begin to tell you. It was my favorite thing to do when we went over to my cousin's house. It was like, hey man, can we play Excitebike? So that would go in there, and it was just hours and hours and hours of my childhood are sunk into that game. Now, somebody has managed to, through the wonder of MDF and a lot of ingenuity, to actually create a very real-life, real-sized, pixelated Excitebike. And then he went one step further, Justin Harder went one step further, rather, and actually created a pixelated helmet and pixelated safety gear and everything to go with it. It's unbelievable. You're sitting there looking at it and going, okay, the level of detail from the trophy down to the everything that goes in on this is stunning. Now, I'm not entirely sure if you can ride it, but it looks like you can. It's at least sturdy enough that you can actually sit on it. So that's just all kinds of crazy. So I wanted to share with the group. In the article, it actually has a link to the guy's Flickr page where you can see all the different stuff from the trophy to the gear to the bike itself. So there you go, and here we are. That about wraps it up here for the Geek Cruft section. We have food and caffeinated bits, and then it will let you head out on your way. So the first article that we got up for you here is coffee articles that should not be. I've been talking about this for a while, but I actually did manage to create the article itself. We're going to run down them really quick. If you'd like to read a little fun rant and some snarkiness, head on over to caffeination.com and check it out. But Kopi Luwak Palm Civet Poop Coffee. People need to stop talking about it like it hasn't been seen before. I am really tired of basically people regurgitating the same story over and over and over again, not adding anything to the conversation and doing nothing but clogging up my feed reader. Now, I'm not singling out different coffee bloggers out there, but rather the news agencies that keep putting this stuff out there and keep talking about it like nobody's ever heard about it. Kopi Luwak coffee was actually in the bucket list. It was one of the central devices within the movie. So between that and the wonderful Chock Full of Nuts coffee cans that are in there, coffee played a rather large part of the in the movie. Kind of a bit part as condiments and as pieces of food go, but still it played a rather large part. But all right, the next thing. Bikini shops in X small town causes a problem. We get this. People are prudes. We get this. People do not like to have fun. We think that people are actually a little bit threatened by the fact that young women are scampering about delivering coffee. Men will go there and think bad things. Exploitation of women for monetary gain by evil men. Yes, I've gotten all the angles. I've seen all the stories. It seems to be popping up. Do you know why? Because apparently the concept works. It's the same. It falls under the same thing as strip clubs. You can protest them as much as you want. I'm not saying that these coffee shops are the same thing. The same thing as Hooters. Let's probably say that's about a little bit better. I'm not saying that these coffee shops are fantastic. I've never seen one, never been to one. If they had good coffee, I might go back. That's not going to be the sole reason why I go there. However, there is a certain level of clientele and there are certain types of people who would find this interesting, and it's just enough of a draw to get people in the door. And when you're really thinking about business, that's all that really matters. So because the theme works, because the blueprint has already been laid down, just because one coffee place in Maine burned down doesn't mean that you need to regurgitate the story every time somebody decides to open up one of them. That's all I'm saying. And then the last one, this is a huge one. Coffee is good for you. Coffee is bad for you. Coffee is bad for pregnant women. Coffee is good for pregnant women. It goes over and over and over again on these different stories. And here's the problem. The news media in general likes to generalize to a point where it removes the scientific information. Please, please, if you're going to talk about a coffee is good for you kind of thing, have a link to the scientific data behind it. I'm not saying, you know, have a link to all the little ones and zeros that line up there in a row. There they are. I'm saying that you actually need to have a link back to the published article. I want to be able to see the scale of the study. If they're talking about 30 kids and they're saying this is a valid, and the news media extrapolates that out to say, okay, you had a study with 30 kids and apparently if you drink 7 cups of coffee really, really, really quick, your head explodes. And let's just say it exploded on 2 people. I'm not saying that it's going to happen. That's a far-fetched and unbelievably ridiculous idea. But that's such a small sample rate that you can't actually do it. It's beyond the standard deviations for actual acceptable research. They are publishing their findings because that's what doctors do who don't treat patients. They have to publish or perish. That's the way academia itself works. So just because they publish a paper and they make a conclusion at the end, it's not a conclusion because this is the way that it should be for everything. It's a conclusion because within the realm of scientific thought, the conclusion is what you put at the end of something you are writing. You have the theory, you have the hypothesis, you test it out. That's what an experiment is. And then at the end of the experiment, even if you've learned nothing, your conclusion is that you've learned nothing. So now that I've told you all about scientific theory, now you realize why some of these articles where they come out and say, hey, guess what? 4 cups of coffee is great. You no longer have this problem. You no longer have that problem. There's so many ifs and thens about that I'm not entirely sure what exactly they're saying. So I'd rather go and read it from the people who actually know what they're talking about. And even worse is when they have a carefully crafted conclusion where the actual scientist, if you read the paper, it says, you know, X is Y only under very, very certain circumstances. And then the news media comes along and says, X is always Y. Why? There is no problem about that. There are no circumstances. That's just how it is. And then you have the talking heads that weigh in. Well, maybe we should ban coffee in schools because of this. Caffeine is bad for everyone. Yeah, it made 2 kids' heads explode in a study in 1960. Not even saying there was a study in 1960, but I think you get the idea. And yes, I have had some coffee today. So this is something that I like to talk about, that these are things that need to go away. Coming shortly, things that need to come back. I want to see more stories about the next couple things. So hopefully you find that interesting. And there's the full text of that, not my entire rant there, not my rambling little wander through that, but just basically an idea behind it. So hopefully you agree. Hopefully we can start the discussion on some other more interesting stuff. But I would like to send a huge thank you right now to thedailyshotofcoffee.com. They had posted a fantastic little collection of some awesome coffee news and stuff. Now, these are awesome, crazy, off-the-wall, non-standard coffee things. That's why I'm talking about 2 of them, and the rest of them you can go over there and check out Mike Crimmins' blog yourself. He does a fantastic job of bringing in the awesome, so you really need to do it. But from one of the stories he actually talked about is from a blog called whynotcoffee.com. There's a cupping app that's actually debuting on the iTunes marketplace. From the SCAA's 10th Annual Roasters Guild Retreat, they actually said that, yay, guess what? There's now an app for that, so that you can actually go through and test out all the different coffees. You can check the aroma, the fragrance. It actually calculates the dry notes, the break notes, everything down to the finest little thing. Here's the funny thing. The thing that Mike said in his comments about it are the same thing that I said. Where's the droid version? I really want to see that. So until we can get that out there, I unfortunately am going to be unable to actually check out my cupping notes on anything. So I'm not in the app for that class. So maybe I could always write one, but that's an official branded app from the SCAA. I have no clue how well it works, but hey, you know, if anybody has an iPhone, they're willing to check it out. Just give a search. Tell me what you think. Another article Mike found is amped up bats overdosing on coffee. Apparently in Australian plantations, there are bats that have been found dead from consuming large amounts of coffee. Now, before you go and you hear this on all the mainstream news that say that coffee is killing bats and we should remove the coffee or the bats, this is because these bats are actually doing their job. They're flying around the air. They're consuming the insects, if that's the kind of bat they are. They're eating fruit because coffee comes from cherries, and if the bats are eating the coffee cherries and they eat too many of them, then yes, they do have caffeine toxicity. So there's a rather disgusting one anecdotal story. It says one woman even found part of a bat had crawled into her coffee filter over the night, giving her an extra jolt when she found it after drinking the pot of coffee-cooked bat juice. Now, this is pretty disgusting. Apparently, some of the growers down there have actually lost over $7,000 worth of profit, worth of product, rather. But this is kind of weird because Australia is not really known for its coffee. Yes, there are coffees that are actually from there, but they're not really known, and this is the only time I've ever heard of it. So I'm just curious if this is something that's focused on that varietal of coffee that they're using, if you know, maybe they need to set up little ultrasonic sensors or something to frighten the little guys off, because you know they do have kind of sensitive hearing. Alright, next little item that we got for you here is over at ogizmo.com. Hey, you too can have your own drink from a faucet without using your hand like a cup. All you have to do is use this incredibly tiny and blindingly simple little gadget. It's only $5 each. It's a silicone nozzle that actually ends up on your on your faucet, and you stick the one end on the faucet, you squeeze, and the stream of water shoots out the top, water fountain style. This is beautiful. I am smacking myself in the forehead that I never thought of this. I drink from the faucets all the time, much to my mother's chagrin, and I mainly used to do it just by cupping my hand. This would make it actually a little bit more sanitary. But I thought it was awesome and had to share with the group. All right, next, the second to last little thing we got for you here, Practical Men, the high-speed potato peeling over at Random Good Stuff. Well, they have an awesome little video where somebody apparently shoved a drill bit into a potato, they let fire with the drill, and then they held a potato peeler onto the actual skin as it spun at incredibly high repetitions to actually peel it really, really fast. Now, this is one level of awesome. That teaches you to peel potatoes like a man. But what does it take to grill like a god? Well, over at thatsnerdalicious.com, they have a story about the world's largest barbecue. This is dubbed God Grilla, which I actually think is kind of funny on so many different levels. Apparently, this thing, I think I've seen stories about this before, but it can. I think this one might be the next generation, so to speak. But this thing can cook at the same time a cow or two whole cows. It takes 14 bags of coal to ignite. It can get up over 500 degrees Celsius. This is a relatively big grill. They show it cooking three beasts of some size. I'm not entirely sure what they are, but you know, they're probably going to taste fantastic. So over 1,000 sausages, 500 burgers, or two whole cows. Two whole cows. This is a grill you're not going to find in India. So, all right, that about wraps it up here today for the Caffeination episode number 451. It's a thing of beauty being able to actually produce the episode, get it out, and hopefully get it up to you people before the hour of midnight. So I'm going to go get some sleep. Thank you ever so much for listening to this. This has been, like I said, episode 451. If you were looking for this episode, please feel free to head on over to www.caffeination.com. That is the Caffeination homepage and also the name of the show, so it kind of works out. But yeah, it's a nice little mnemonic device that we have going there for us. But beyond that, if you would like to get into contact with us, you can call us from Gmail now at 215 215- 1-800-240-1319. You can Twitter us at twitter.com/caffeination or at caffeination, so the case may be. Remember to head on over to podcastmadness.com for some prizely goodness in entering caffeination. We have a Facebook fan page. We have all kinds of different ways to subscribe, and everything is listed over at our wonderful homepage. So thank you ever so much for listening, people, and stay caffeinated.